You may have seen the report on television about a month ago about a woman who burst into tears at the sound of somebody saying just the days of the week. And she'd been deaf from birth, and she was hearing for the first time, and these were tears of joy. A person who's never heard will probably not be able to speak either, because we first learn to speak by hearing our parents and our brothers and sisters and the people all around us. We start off by mimicking what they say and how they say it. That's why we have the strange accents and dialects that we do. Perhaps you've heard the story of the old man. And he had an implant to help him hear. And he went back to the doctor a week later. And he said it was marvellous. He could hear everything his family were saying. The doctor said, "They must be so pleased for you that you can hear again." The old man replied, "Oh, I haven't told them yet." And the doctor said, "Well, why not?" The man said, "I need to listen to them for a while. I've changed my will 3 times already." The importance of hearing and listening. If I asked you to name a prophet from the Old Testament, you'd probably say Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. But if you read Hebrews 11, which talks about great men and women of faith, and look at verse 32, we read there, "And what shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets." Samuel is the head of these prophets in that verse. Now, I don't think Samuel would have been top of your list of prophets, but he was a man of great faith and used by God to deliver God's message. And so we need to listen to what God has to say to us through him. They were very dark days when God called Samuel, and about 1,000 years before Jesus. And at the end of the book of Judges, in Judges 21:25, we read these words: "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Everyone did what he wanted. No rules, no right or wrong. No regard to God. They did as they saw fit." Now, that's a pretty dangerous situation to get into, because left to its own devices, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Our innermost being, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things. Who knows what will happen if everybody does as he sees fit? Well, I think today we're seeing more and more in our world what this means. The perversions that are supported in the name of tolerance and equality. The lack of care for the most vulnerable in our society, because it doesn't make a profit. People's evil desires shown in acts of wickedness. The atrocities committed by neighbour against neighbour. People against government. God isn't recognised as king. Everyone does as he sees fit. And look at the state of the world. 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 says, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare." In these days, the word of the Lord is rare. God's word isn't being heard, and the world's falling apart. That's what happened in Israel in Samuel's day, and it's what's happening today, I would suggest. The world is falling apart. There's a famine of God's word, and the world is starving. Remember, there are two ways of starving. Either the food's not there, or we refuse to eat the food that is there. God's word is there, the spiritual food we all need in the Bible, but the world's refusing to read it, refusing to hear what God has to say, refusing to seek God. People are turning to their own ways, and if you read Romans and chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, it goes into great detail about what people without God have become: wicked, evil, depraved, and most seriously, under the wrath of God. This is what happens when the word of God's ignored. What this world most needs today is to receive the word of God. The calling of Samuel brought a new word from God. God's silence was broken. There is hope. God hasn't forsaken his people. He'll never leave or forsake his people. And we read in chapter 4 and verse 1, Samuel's words came to all Israel. There is hope. The world needs to receive God's message. So let's come to this chapter. Let's look at this chapter. But rather than going straight into looking at Samuel, let's start by seeing God here. Because it was God's call in verses 4 to 8, his message. So what do we learn about God? Firstly, praise God, there is something to hear. And don't we see the grace of God here? The word of God's rare today in the sense that it's not being received. It's not rare in availability because we have the Bible. God speaks through the word he's preserved for thousands of years. By God's grace, he speaks through his word. It's vital that God's word is heard. American pastor and author Dale Ralph Davis said this: if contemporary believers have a church where social activities, committee meetings, and nifty programs have not eclipsed the place of the Word of God, if the teaching of the Word of God stands at the heart of the church's life, if there is a pulpit ministry where the scriptures are clearly, accurately, and helpfully preached, then they are rich in the grace of God. Never forget, God in his grace speaks through the word he's given us. And I praise God for the way that the Lord uses this place as a base for God's word to be preached clearly, accurately, and helpfully. So let's praise God for his grace. Praise him. There is someone to hear. There is one who speaks. One of the first things we learned about in Genesis 1:3, is God speaks. We read, God said, let there be light. We must never cease to be amazed that God speaks to us. Does finding out what God is saying today excite you? Does it amaze you that the great, holy, and pure God has something to say to you? Think about it. Aren't you staggered that God, who created all things, has something to say to you and to me? Or have you lost the excitement you had when you first realized that God was revealing his truth to you? Have you lost your appetite to hear God speaking to you? Are you starving? I'd urge you to ask God to rekindle your desire for his word. Don't let his word become rare in your life, because God in his wonderful grace has provided the richest of food in his word for you. Israel didn't deserve to hear God again, but in his grace and mercy, he was about to speak through Samuel. We see God's grace. We also see God's kindness and patience with his people. Chapter 1, before this, tells of how Samuel was born to Hannah in response to her prayer. His name means heard of God. Hannah gave him to the Lord, and we're told in chapter 3, at the beginning of our chapter this evening, verse 1, that Samuel ministered before the Lord under the priest Eli. And this particular night, Samuel's lying in the temple of the Lord where the presence of God was, in verse 3. In verses 4 to 10, the verb call appears 11 times, so I think we can safely assume this is the theme of this section. When Samuel hears God calling, he doesn't understand what's happening. He thinks it's Eli. He hears the call 3 times, and each time he jumps up immediately to answer the call. If only children nowadays were that willing to come running when we adults call. But he went to Eli instead of God. Samuel's nighttime experience was unusual and unexpected. Perhaps this is why it also took Eli 3 goes to work out that it was God speaking to the boy. But there was also a good reason why Samuel didn't know what was happening. And it says in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And even in verse 10, when he speaks to God, he doesn't address him as Lord. So it tells us that Samuel wasn't used to receiving the word of God until that time. But don't we see God's kindness and patience in dealing with Samuel? He doesn't get cross with the boy when he doesn't grasp what's happening. He doesn't give up on him. He calls again and again. He gives time for his message to get through. And I, for one, am so grateful to God that he's kind and patient with me, because so often I'm hard of hearing and he has to repeat the message over and over. He gives us time to understand in his kindness and patience. Look at the disciples with Jesus, how patient he was with them when they so often didn't understand. Luke says the disciples didn't understand any of this. They did not know what he was talking about. Full understanding only dawned on them after Jesus rose from the dead. And we won't understand fully until we see our Lord face to face. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12, "Now we see but a pure reflection, then we shall see face to face." But isn't it great to know that the Lord won't cast us off just because we're a bit dim? There's something to hear by the grace of God, and through his kindness and patience, his people hear. When Jesus says in John chapter 10 that he's the good shepherd, he says he calls his sheep, his own sheep, by name, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. What fantastic assurance the Christian has. Like God called Samuel, he calls us by name because he knows us. He knows our names, and when he calls us, we're his. And nothing can separate us once he's called us. We hear his voice. We recognize his voice and follow him. Have you heard him calling you? Do you recognize his voice? Do you hear him speaking, calling? Then make sure you listen. Make sure you listen. Don't just hear, but listen. We read God's invitation in Isaiah 55 and verse 3. Isaiah 55 and verse 3. "Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live." This leads us to look at Samuel's response. Notice in verse 10, Samuel didn't say, "I hear you, Lord." He said, "Your servant is listening." There's a difference between hearing and listening. Jesus himself says in Luke 8 and verse 18, "Consider carefully how you listen," implying that there's a right way to listen. You know, sometimes when I watch the weather forecast, I'm watching and I'm hearing the weather forecaster, but I so often turn to Wendy afterwards and I say, "What did they just say?" Because it's really strange. I've heard the voice talking and I've seen the pictures, but I haven't listened. My ears haven't connected with my brain. Have you ever found that? I hope I'm not the only one. Strange, isn't it? And have you noticed that more and more people don't seem to be able to function without earphones in nowadays? Background noise. Silence is rarely heard. But often they're not actually listening to what they're hearing. It's just there in the background. They're not paying attention. And that's hearing, not listening. Our children hear us talking, but are they really listening? Now, God speaking is something special, surely. Something out of this world, literally. We can't just treat him like background noise. The first part of this chapter, in verses 4 to 8, Samuel hears. He hears God's call. He actually listens to God in verses 11 to 14. He listens to what God's got to say. Now God's giving him a message. Now Samuel's listening to what God wants to tell him. When we listen to God, when we read God's word, do we expect him to speak to us? Do we listen to what he says? Or do we just read and then forget what we've been reading about before we've even closed the Bible? We can't treat God like that. We need to be listeners. Otherwise, we end up like the Israelites at the beginning of 1 Samuel 3, when the word of God is rare. It's not because we don't hear, it's because we don't listen. Take Samuel's example. When he heard God calling the fourth time, He listened carefully to what God had to say. We have to keep asking ourselves, what is stopping us listening? What is stopping you listening? Are you easily distracted? Are you listening to the wrong things? Are you hearing the wrong message? We mustn't just hear God. We have to listen to him. We have to take it in. His word has to reach further than our ears. It has to reach our brains and our hearts. And then we can say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But even then, is that enough? Not for Samuel and not for us. We have to do something with what God says. True listening will affect us and our actions. Here's Samuel in verse 10, listening to what God has to say. God says in verse 11, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. So I guess Samuel's really excited. What's God going to do? What's going to make everybody's ears tingle? Samuel's all ears. But then he listens to what God's going to do. He's going to bring judgment on Eli because of sins his family have committed with his knowledge. And judgment did come quickly. We read in chapter 4 already, Eli's two sons died in battle. Eli died on hearing the news, and his daughter-in-law died giving birth. What a message Samuel had to bring. Samuel listened intently to God's message for Eli, the man who's looked after him like a father most of his life and who's always been there for him. He's guided him in the ways of God, so that we can read in chapter 1, verse 26, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favour with the Lord and with men. This was a work of God, but Eli played a part, a great part in that. So how can Samuel pass on this message to the man who's loved him as his own son? Eli refers to him as my son in verse 6 and 16. Wow. Samuel lay down until morning, we're told in verse 15, but I suspect he didn't sleep. Different emotions, worry, fear. I know I'd have been thinking, do I really have to give this message? Perhaps God will give someone else the same message and they'll tell Eli before I see him in the morning. That night, I guess, will have seemed so long. And I guess so many things will have gone through Samuel's mind. And Samuel will have realised the enormity of what God was calling him to do. The great responsibility he was going to bear. And he learnt that God's purpose for him was not going to be easy. I'm sure Samuel learnt a lot. God's message that night affected him. He learnt a lot about coping with pressure before he delivered God's message to Eli. Whatever we hear from God will affect us, the listener, in some way. And we have to allow it to do that. God's word will affect us and change our lives. Paul writes to Timothy, doesn't he, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. These are the ways that God affects us when he speaks. He'll teach us and train us, yes, but he'll also correct us and rebuke us. If we listen to him, his words will affect our lives. We have to remember that he's making us fit for heaven, and that might be difficult at times. Samuel's life wasn't going to be the same again. I'm sure he wasn't looking forward to giving Eli this message. He could have been given something easier to start off with. But Eli, you'll notice, lightens the load for him, lightens the task by forcing Samuel to tell him everything in verse 17. So Samuel hides nothing from Eli in verse 18. And Eli very humbly accepts that the Lord will do what is good in his eyes. What a task for Samuel to deliver God's message. Okay, we're not living in Samuel's times. We may not hear the audible voice of God. We're not called, perhaps, to be prophets like Samuel. But we do live in a world where we see so much evil, so little regard for God and his ways, just like then. And we do have God's message in the Bible. And that message, as well as affecting us and our lives, it should affect our actions too. We have a responsibility like Samuel had. True listening will affect our actions, because God's word isn't just meant to reach our brains, but also our hearts, and from there, our mouths. James 1 verse 22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Listening to God will always move us to some kind of action. Sometimes it's aimed at us ourselves. We will need to do something with our own lives. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." What God says guides us in the ways we have to travel on our Christian journey. But Samuel shows us God wants us to pass on what he says to us. We have a story to tell to the nations. That's why God's spoken. Through the book of Acts, we read phrases like Acts 12:24. The word of God continued to increase and spread. And God's power works through the increase and spreading of his word. Listening results in telling. In Samuel 3 verse 1, God's word was rare, but by the end of the chapter, by 1 Samuel 4 verse 1, Samuel's words came to all Israel. And we are called to be instruments in the increase and spreading of God's word to the nations. How are we measuring up? How are you doing? How am I doing? But Samuel teaches us that it won't be an easy task. What's God saying today? He's saying exactly the same as he was saying through prophets like Isaiah. "Turn to me and be saved," Isaiah 45:22. Through John the Baptist, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Through Peter, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven." Through Paul, "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." But Hebrews 1 and verse 2 says that God has spoken finally through his Son Jesus. He says, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned." The word of God is clear. It always has been, from beginning to end. The wonderful message of salvation in and through Jesus that we're to proclaim loud and clear. But it won't be easy. It's not something the world wants to hear. Because as well as telling of salvation open to all who believe in Jesus as Saviour, we've also got the responsibility of telling of judgment coming on those who refuse to listen. Salvation and judgment. The prophets didn't hold anything back. Samuel didn't hold anything back. Jesus didn't hide the fact that there's bad news for those who refuse to accept the good news. So we've got to tell it as it is, from this pulpit, but also as we share individually with people we meet. We have to tell the full story and not hold back. We have a great message of hope of eternity in heaven for all who put their trust in the saving work of Jesus on the cross. But we also bear the responsibility of telling people the not so nice message of judgment and eternity in hell for those who reject Jesus. Someone once said, "True preaching will afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted." Do we shrink from that responsibility? Samuel did to start with, giving bad news to the man he loved like a father. But we mustn't hide any of the truth. Samuel didn't. Samuel listened to what God had to say, but then he told God's message to all Israel. If we listen to what God's saying, our reaction will be to tell others. Have you found that? Do you feel that desire rising up within you? The need to tell. True listening will result in telling. So let's just summarize. God in his grace still speaks. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6 and verse 68. Why should we not listen to Jesus? Why should we not learn of God and salvation from Jesus? Why should we not do what God says to achieve that salvation? He has the words of eternal life. Surely we want to count ourselves among those who have received this message, the words of eternal life. Surely that's where we want to be, don't we? He's patient with us because we're slow to hear. But do we get the message eventually? So to finish off, we need to ask ourselves, ask yourself, where do you stand? Are you a hearer? You hear God's word, you hear his message for you, but it doesn't register with your brain. Or are you a listener? It does register with your brain, but it doesn't touch your heart. It doesn't cause you to change your ways. Or are you a true listener, a listener and a teller, keen to spend time at the feet of the Lord, reading God's word, listening to what the Lord has to say, applying it to your life, and taking the message out? That's where God wants us to be. Let's pray that his Holy Spirit will make us like Samuel, ready to listen and to tell.